It's Wednesday, November 9th, and this is VOA's International Edition. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Coming up, it's still Tuesday in the United States, America is voting, and soon we will learn who the next U.S. president will be. VOA checks in at the campaign headquarters of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
One assumes that all of this has been worked out between the United States and Turkey and their respective allies inside Syria.
More forces go against Islamic State. Also ahead, the wealthiest female entertainers. It's all coming up on today's International Edition. Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump both made a whirlwind journey for votes to several states on Monday on the eve of perhaps the most divisive and polarizing election in modern U.S. history. Polls show Clinton with a modest but steady lead both nationally and in several key battleground states that will largely determine the outcome of the voting happening Tuesday. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more on the candidates and their final push for support.
Make noise!
Hillary Clinton began her last day on the campaign trail in Pennsylvania, a state she's counting on to become the next president. After a long and divisive campaign, Clinton delivered a more upbeat message on the eve of the election.
Anger is not a plan, my friends. If we're going to harness our energy and try to overcome our problems, then we got to start talking to each other again. And we have to get good ideas wherever they come from.
Clinton got a boost Sunday when the FBI cleared her for a second time in connection with her use of a private email server while Secretary of State. Clinton had plenty of help in the final hours of campaigning, including from President Barack Obama.
God bless these United States of America. Let's go vote.
Obama rallied supporters in Michigan, where some polls show a tightening race. Republican Donald Trump began his day in Florida, a must-win state for him if he's to defy national polls and pull off a come-from-behind victory. Trump tried to turn the latest news on the FBI and Clinton to his benefit.
Hillary Clinton is being protected by a totally rigged system. And now it's up to the American people to deliver justice at the ballot box tomorrow. That's what's going to happen.
Trump also had help from his daughter Ivanka, who campaigned in Pennsylvania.
My father is very forthright. You know where he stands.
The outcome will hinge largely on voter turnout, says strategist Matt Gammon.
You need to remind people why the other one is a worse choice than you are. And it gives everyone kind of a bad taste in their mouth, and it's not what we like to think of when we think of how campaigns are run. But unfortunately, that's just the way that this looks like it's going to end.
No matter who wins, the next president faces enormous challenges in trying to unify the country, says historian Alan Lichtman.
Assuming it's Donald Trump, he's got to way tamp down his rhetoric. He can't talk about locking up his political opponents.
But Lichtman says a Clinton victory would also be a test of her political skills.
She is going to have to come up with policies and programs that could at least attract a segment of the Republican opposition.
Democrats have shown some strengths in several states with early voting, but Trump supporters insist their passion will lead to a big turnout on Tuesday. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
And beginning at 0 hour UTC, VOA is in full election results mode. We'll be on the air throughout the evening speeches from the candidates. And Jim Malone will be right back here in the studio with scores of VOA correspondents around the country and around the world. Plus, we'll have outside political experts and analysts to provide us with unique views of this historic election. It's all right here on VOA. Stay with us. We're not going anywhere. It's time now for our social media segment with International Edition's G. Abby Lee. She joins me here in the studio with today's trending stories on the web. Hi, G.
Hello, Jim.
I can't guess. What are we talking about here? U.S. presidential election, right?
There might be something important. So let's start with outside the country and work our way in. Americans abroad exercise their right to vote and posted photos on social media to prove it. When you use hashtag election2016, it shows a hash flag in the shape of a ballot box, and many expats also tag the Overseas Vote Initiative, which is a nonpartisan foundation that facilitates American voters who are either working or serving in the military abroad. You can find them at Overseas Vote.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. How important are the overseas voters?
Well, usually not very much, but in a tight race like this, very. Even Foreign Policy tweeted, record high overseas balloting might make a difference. Jim, we're also seeing many celebrities posting photos of themselves either before or after the vote. And country singer Taylor Swift is no exception. She tweeted, "Today is a day, go out and vote," and attached a photo of herself in line at a polling station. Actress Halle Berry and comedian Ken Jeong also posted photos of themselves with the I voted stickers. Maybe they wanted free coffee.
Perhaps. Well, I got mine. Anything else about Election Day?
Jim, speaking of photos, some American women dressed up for the occasion. It was their first time having a female presidential candidate to choose from, so some Hillary Clinton supporters wore pantsuits, her signature style, to the polling station and lived to share it on Twitter.
Okay, a bit of style there. What about on the Republican side?
Even on the day of the election, Donald Trump didn't miss a chance to become an internet meme once again. Trump appeared to sneak a peek at his wife's ballot as they voted in New York. A meme and video clip of him taking a peek over her head started circulating on Twitter, and some people joked she must be copying off of Michelle Obama next to her, referring to her RNC speech that resembled the First Lady's. That joke never dies. His supporters, on the other hand, chose to share photos of the couple after they cast their ballot and smiling together at the camera. So a little bit of a more presidential photo. Jim, back to you.
Okay, great stuff on Election Day. Thank you so much. You can follow G, Abby Lee, and myself on Twitter. First, we'll start with the International Edition account. That's at VOA _IE. I'm at VOA Stevenson, and then G is at G, Abby Lee. Among the top stories that are trending in Asia: China-Malaysia meeting showcases quiet cooperation on maritime dispute. South Korean president agrees to withdraw prime minister nominee. Malaysian protest rally to go ahead despite threats. Minister says Philippines is scaling back, not scrapping, military work with the United States. Elephants kneel to pay respect to late Thai king. Find expanded coverage of these stories and a whole lot more, especially about the U.S. election, at the voanews.com website and on your smartphone via the VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. VOA's International Edition continues. Supporters of Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump are gathering at his campaign headquarters in New York for what they believe will be an election night victory celebration. VOA correspondent Mary Alice Salinas has been following developments. She has more from New York.
She's going straight to the White House.
Outside Trump Tower, supporters for both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump clashed.
Hillary's going to go to jail.
The police presence grew, along with the crowd and the spectacle.
So vote for Donald Trump, my friends. Make America great again. That sounds like a good idea to me.
Both sides made their case.
I believe he's made this country a more divisive country, where Hillary will bring us all together.
I just feel that he's a real person, a real business person, and I feel that he knows how to speak to people and get the job done.
Trump raced through key states rallying for votes.
We need a lot of energy in our country, a lot of bum bum. Need a lot of things. We don't need Hillary.
Back in Midtown Manhattan, counterterrorism teams arrived at the Hilton. Trump's campaign will be headquartered here on election night. The Jones family did not know that when they booked a room here months ago.
It's been a contentious battle. Been very uncomfortable, so I'm looking forward to Wednesday and getting through this whole election.
I really don't think we'll stick around the hotel Tuesday.
More than 5,000 New York police are standing watch on Election Day, a historic number. following one of the most caustic election cycles in recent memory. Mary Alice Salinas, VOA News, New York.
In just hours, the world will learn who will lead the United States as president for the next 4 years. And with time ticking down, volunteers for Democrat Hillary Clinton are making every minute count. New York is traditionally a Democratic state, so volunteers there had to think up unique ways to get out the vote. As VOA's Carolyn Pursuti shows us, they had a little help from stars.
Down to hours now for Clinton volunteers, putting their spin on voters.
Thanks for your support.
Suddenly, an energy boost after hours of texting and making phone calls. Special guest, rocker Joan Jett.
Hillary's my person that I'm voting for president.
And hip-hop MC, Black Thought.
It's kind of now or never. This is, for me, it's a no-brainer, no-choice sort of election.
In this final stretch, everything carries a sense of urgency. These volunteers will work right up until 11 p.m. election night.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I'm definite. I'm not stopping. No way.
Polls show Clinton winning over Trump in New York with double digits. So the campaign push isn't here. It's 150 kilometers away. That's why volunteers boarded a bus for groundwork in a battleground state.
We're going to, like, rally the people in Pennsylvania, and hopefully everybody else in the United States gets on board.
The Clinton election party will be held here at the New York City Javits Center, a glass convention hall. Limited tickets were offered to volunteers.
Do you know where the entrance is?
But too few to include an emotional Eileen Remmer. The campaign ran out of tickets.
Pretty disappointed. This is a huge night. I never, in my wildest dreams, thought we'd have a female president, and I wanted to be in the room at that moment when Hillary got on stage and she was president of the United States.
Only one day to see if that happens.
She's just
Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News, New York City.
And plenty of video to go with Carolyn's story, plus a whole lot more at our website, voanews.com. And in between watching all of these videos, you got to listen to us because we're going to be on all night long as the results come rolling in from all 50 of the states here. And we'll find out who our next president is, along with some very key races in Congress, which will also determine how that next president will be able to move forward during the next 4 years. Elsewhere in the news, the U.S.-backed Arab-Kurdish rebel alliance, Syrian Democratic Forces, have launched an operation. It's dubbed Euphrates Rage, and it's to retake the northern city of Raqqa from Islamic State defenders. The offensive coincides with the three-week assault to liberate the Iraqi city of Mosul from the Islamic State group. Turkey backs the separate rebel alliance, the Free Syrian Army, which is driving toward the Islamic State-held town of Al-Bab, Syria. Analyst David Leash is a professor of history at Trinity University in Texas, and he tells VOA's Victor Beatty that the movement against both Raqqa and Mosul makes sense, denying Islamic State fighters the ability to move from one to the other.
It also keeps them busy. ISIS has called upon those outside of the area or call on some of their followers inside the area to carry out attacks on cities and towns, not only outside of Syria and Iraq, but inside Syria and Iraq to try to divert forces. So I think by keeping the Islamic State busy on multiple fronts, they're less likely to do so.
You have two rebel opposition groups, the Free Syrian Army backed by Turkey, and of course the U.S. Backed Syrian Democratic Forces, of which the Kurds, the YPG Kurds, which Turkey considers terrorists, are a huge element. Is this going to provide a real problem?
It could. One assumes that all of this has been worked out between the United States and Turkey and their respective allies inside Syria, but we'll see. The Syrian Democratic Forces, which a large amount of whom are Kurdish YPG forces opposed by the Turks but supported by the U.S., they're the ones apparently that are carrying out the bulk of the attacks just outside of Raqqa. I'm not convinced this is a full assault of Raqqa. I think it's meant to keep the Islamic State fighting on two fronts, or at least thinking it has to fight on two fronts. And so if it's somewhat limited, because apparently they're still about 30, 40 miles outside of Raqqa, which is where they've been for some time now, it's almost as if just by announcing that they're going to move on Raqqa, that will provide the strategic benefit of not actually having to do so. But at some point, they're going to have to move on Raqqa. My sense is that some of the diplomatic complexities, particularly between the SDF and the Free Syrian Army and their respective outside supporters, and negotiations particularly between the U.S. and Turkey, still have to be worked out, not only before and during any assault on Raqqa, but what comes in the aftermath.
David, the U.S. counter-Islamic State envoy Brett McGurk is in Jordan. He told reporters, among other things, the vanguard of the SDF forces entering Raqqa would be comprised of ethnic Arabs, not Kurdish fighters. Why?
Raqqa is a mostly Arab town and part of Syria, and it's outside of the traditional Kurdish areas. If, in fact, this is what happens, this will certainly put at ease various Arab allies of the U.S.-led coalition inside Syria, as well as perhaps the Syrian government and their Russian allies, and most particularly they will satisfy the Turks. So if that is part of the deal, then that is maybe one concession made to the Turks. However, you know, most of the real fighting forces in the Syrian Democratic Forces are, in fact, Kurdish.
The attack on Raqqa had been expected. Last month, U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter said it would overlap with the campaign against Mosul. Carter says the fight will not be easy, but it is necessary to end the fiction of Islamic State caliphate and disrupt the group's ability to carry out terrorist attacks. You'll find more on our website, voanews.com, and be sure to follow all of the latest developments on Twitter. Our stream is at VOA_IE, and we're also on Facebook at VOA Now. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
On November 8th, American voters will choose their next president. We'll provide you with the latest updates. Will it be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? Will third-party candidates like Gary Johnson or Jill Stein have an impact on the final outcome? What does that mean for Americans and the world? It's all here on VOA.
Jazz America.
This is Russ Davis, and on my program Jazz America, I carry on the tradition begun decades ago by the great Willis Conover by exploring the wonders of a century of jazz history. I'll cover it all from Dixieland to swing to bebop to modal, free jazz, fusion, world jazz, contemporary, and beyond. Plus, you'll hear the words of the artists themselves as they tell their incredible stories. Join me for Jazz America, Saturdays and Sundays at 13 hours Universal Time, online at voanews.com and the Voice of America.
This is VOA's International Edition. We know our favorite female entertainers are making some serious money, and now we know how much and where they rank. That's all thanks to Forbes magazine. VOA Top 20 Countdown host Ray McDonald joins us with this unique top 10 list.
The rich keep getting richer. That's our lesson for today. Taylor Swift is the woman of the hour. She tops Forbes magazine's 2016 list of the top earning women in music. She raked in $170 million for the 12-month period ending in June. Now, most of that amount came from her 1989 world tour, which grossed $250 million. This was a huge tour. It went on for a long time, and she headlined in a lot of sports stadiums. So, of course, she drew enormous audiences. Taylor Swift finishing first in this list is pretty much a foregone conclusion, since earlier in 2016, she also topped Forbes' list of the 100 highest-paid celebrities. So, of course, she's also the highest-paid singer. And she doesn't just win, she dominates this list. Adele is second. She pulled in $80 million this year, which is less than half of what Taylor took in. Adele is an interesting exception on this list because most of the top earners have their tours to thank for their earnings. But Adele did it largely on the strength of album sales. 25 was the world's best-selling album this year, and she just raked in enormous amounts of money from album sales, something that hardly ever happens anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of a throwback.
It is. Adele is a throwback artist in many ways. Madonna is third on the list at $76 million. Of course, she had a world tour. Rihanna is fourth with $75 million. And Beyonce is fifth at $54 million. Rounding out the top 10 slots are, in descending order, Katy Perry, who was number one last year, Jennifer Lopez, Britney Spears, Shania Twain, and Celine Dion. Taylor Swift is the youngest person on the top 10 list. She is 26 years old, and it has been 10 years since Taylor released her debut album and her debut single, Tim McGraw. So Taylor Swift is such an interesting person to me. She has been writing and performing for almost half her life. She was a teenager when she was first signed to a music publishing company and development deal in Nashville. And this is obviously the realization of a dream for her. And I sometimes find myself thinking, well, here she is at the age of 26, an age when most of us are just starting out in life, and she has achieved her dreams. So where do you go from here?
That's true.
And, of course, Taylor Swift, we've seen her life played out in social media. She's usually very savvy about how she handles her image. And we've seen her rising and falling. We've seen her ill-fated love affairs. What does the future hold for someone like that? She could easily be a billionaire in the next few years. And sometimes extreme stardom like this, to the stage where you become an icon, I mean, it can really wreck your life.
Taking up residency each and every week for the Top 20 Countdown, our own Ray McDonald. And you'll also find him as a resident on Twitter.
At Ray on the Hits.
Thank you so much, Ray.
You got it, Jim.
Well, you always knew the stars shined. That's because of all the bling in their pockets. You've been listening to International Edition. You can find us at voanews.com. That's where you'll be able to follow all of the results as this election comes to an end and we find out who our next president is. Also, check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Zena Bobdell-Rockman. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Thanks for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
A democracy is a political system wherein the ultimate power lies with the voting citizenry. It is exercised by the people during periodically held free elections, through which the electorate chooses representatives to run the government at every level. Here in the United States, nearly 220 million people are eligible to vote in this year's election, though fewer than 147 million have registered to do so, and fewer still choose to vote. It has been a contentious election, more so than usual, with a country divided along ideological lines behind candidates that represent vastly different proposals for governing over the next 4 years. Yet despite the acrimony, regardless of which candidate wins, and no matter how close the final vote count, the loser is expected to concede the election, step aside, and the outgoing administration will peacefully hand over power to its successor. That is how democracy works. The United States has a federal system by which the voters do not directly elect a president, but instead are represented by electors, chosen by the state and the political party of the popular winner in each state. Individual states have a specific number of electors determined by the size of their populations. Collectively called the Electoral College, these are the people who officially elect the president and vice president of the United States. This is why sometimes a candidate may win the popular vote yet lose the election. Such was the case in the year 2000. In Florida, which has 25 electoral votes, the margin of victory was impossibly narrow and a recount of votes was ordered. Because machines counting the votes could not read some of the ballots and therefore invalidated them, another manual recount was begun. Finally, the matter was referred to the Supreme Court, which ordered the recount stopped. George W. Bush emerged the winner with a margin of 537 votes. In line with the country's democratic principles, his opponent, Al Gore, peacefully conceded the election. Like democracy itself, the electoral system has its flaws. Nonetheless, in the United States, it is still the ordinary voters who choose their representatives for the country's top elected positions. The United States remains, as President Abraham Lincoln called it, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Through a free, fair, and impartial election, it remains so today.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.